Hello, and welcome to the Behind the Region podcast from the South Bend Regional Chamber, being powered by Tech Tyler PC, offering cost-effective IT solutions to fit any budget. This week, we talk with Edward Hayes, the owner of Hayes Design. Edward talks with us about what goes into the decision of giving up a job with a steady paycheck to open up your own business. What are the key components of operating a successful business in the current landscape? And as a business owner, what keeps him up at night? Now, here are your hosts, Chamber President and CEO Jeff Ray, and Director of Member Relations, Mark McGill.
And welcome to the Behind the Region podcast, being powered by Tech Tyler PC. Here we go again, Jeff Ray.
Well, Mark, we're having fun doing this podcast. We're having some great conversations with local business leaders. We're getting to know them a little bit better. We're understanding their journey and such, and how the business is going and what's going on in the economy. And so we're getting some great feedback from folks. And so we've got a great guest today. Edward Hayes is joining us from the Hayes Design Co. And so if you're familiar with that, it's because you've seen the good work Edward's done around the area. If you're not familiar, you're going to be familiar after we sit and chat with Edward for a little while here. So Edward, welcome.
Well, hey, thanks a lot, Jeff and Mark. I appreciate being here today. Love being a part of the St. Joe County area and owning a business, which is always fun and different than what I've done in the past.
You know, it's interesting that your name's on the sign, and so that's a pretty important step. And so you've made the commitment. So we're going to talk a little bit and dive into your head a little bit. But you didn't just grow up thinking that you wanted to own a sign company someday. Let's talk a little bit about your journey and how you got to here.
Do you want to start from when I was a kid and on?
No, and how you couldn't hit a curveball in Little League?
What did you want to be when you grew up?
Well, when I grew up, I wanted to be a pig farmer is really wanted to be. I grew up on a farm in Lakeville. Okay. Just my dad was a police officer. My mom was a nurse and just grew up on a little plot of acreage where we had cows, chickens, and pigs. And for some reason, I always wanted to raise pigs. But, you know, life changed very quickly, went off to college, you know, came back and got into sales, started working for a local company here doing sales, and then just moved. It was with Xerox I started out doing sales, very quickly moved into national sales for them, handled large accounts, and then moved to IBM where I was handling some global accounts and, you know, a lot of the large companies. But in my first 20-something years of my career, it was really travel.
There no Microsoft Teams or Zoom in those days, huh?
No,
you had to
there was
get on an airplane and go visit?
You know, there was many days that, you know, people always talk about the traveling sales guy. This is wonderful. But when you're up at 4 in the morning in a plane, in meetings till 8, 9 o'clock at night, and then hopping on another plane, it was tough. And I would say it was tough on me, you know, because one, having kids, trying to balance the work life was always tough. You know, but my wife just, she was a trooper through it all. And she would very much tell me you're extending it. And so we still balance that. It's a tough life, I think, when you are a traveling salesperson. And it really, you know, kind of came through as, you know, through my whole life was that balance. And it led to a point where I really wanted in my life to say, you know, I want to be home. I want to be home having dinner with my wife every night. I want to be able to do a lot with my kids and just enjoy the community that I lived in. Because I always said I lived in South Bend, but I didn't work here. I really wasn't part of the area, which was kind of growing on me. And I always had this vision of owning a business and doing something that could help not only myself, but help other people. So kind of went through a couple of years of looking through. And I think COVID kind of, when that came on, kind of set me back because all of a sudden one day I'm traveling. I have my next trip set up on a Sunday to fly out to LA. And it was like, all of a sudden the world came to a stop. And that kind of put into my mind, it's like, okay, let's find something here that we could do. So I really did a research of different companies and stuff and looked at four or five different companies and landed on a company that was looking to sell. And, you know, I felt it was something good that mixed with my background of sales and some stuff with Xerox with just color and you know, designs and things that I really felt that was something that would lead me into taking the skills I had to take them to the next level. And that was Burkhart Signs. I still remember it. It was a journey. You know, and it wasn't just my journey. It was really my wife and my family's journey as we sat and looked and said, you know, about ready to spend a lot of money buying a company, switching to the fact of going into an office and really, you know, as I say, what keeps me up every night is my 16 employees and their families. Because when I was on a sales, you know, traveling, I thought, if I fail, it's on me. And I don't have to worry about other people that are in my family. But now I look at it and say, I got 16 families that I have to support. And trust me, I'm waking up a lot in the middle of the night saying, oh my goodness, what did I do with that? So it's been a one wonderful journey. It's been just over 2 years, and I just love it. Love it most days.
Which is great. So we'll get into the Design Co. in a second. But so let's just go back to this. You're traveling the country, you're sailing, you're meeting different folks. But you ended up and decided to stay here. At any point you could have sort of picked up, moved your family somewhere else. You've experienced a lot of different communities. What was it that kept you here?
You know, I think it's the community. Two things. My family's here. You know, my wife grew up in Mishawaka. I grew up in Lakeville. My family's here. My brother, my sisters. You know, my parents and her sister and her parents are all here, and it's a sense of community. You know, we had chances to live all over the United States, and, you know, I've always said, I don't want to move. I like it here. It's close enough to the big cities if you want to have some, you know, go into the big city, you know, Chicago, Indianapolis, or somewhere, but it's more of that community feel that I just love, you know, walking down the street and be able to see people, or, you know, we live in North Liberty, be able to go to our local supermarket and walk in and they know you, right. You know, hey, Ed, how are you doing? Yeah. So it's always great to be able to feel that and feel home.
Yeah, you don't get that in L.A. or New York.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about your company. So you mentioned that you purchased the former Burkhart Sign Company.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about, you know, I think Burkhart was a name known for many years as one of the top sign companies. And so you've now bought this, taken it over, doing some things probably the same, some things different. Tell us a little bit about Hayes Design Co.
Well, I think you're right. There's two parts to Burkhart. Burkhart Advertising and Burkhart Signs. Burkhart Advertising did sell to Lamar out of Alabama, so that's totally separate. I bought the sign business, which is more of the on-premise signs, is what I would say. Anything that you look to be able to put a sign, we can do it. When I came in, really looking to do the change of how do we change it into more of a marketing / design company. This is really what we've been doing. So when I first took over, I mean, my goal was three phase. Number one was stabilize the base. You know, how do I stabilize what we have? Because usually when a company takes over, you start going, do we really want to do business with them? What makes them different? And so my first thing was how do I do that? Second thing is how do I start growing into the regional, local area? And then my third goal, which I'm still working on, is really to be able to go into the national perspective, which I think is a lot of my background is how do I handle national accounts? So it's kind of that three-phased approach. You know, year one was probably my toughest. I think never owning a business, relying on a lot of people, joined different groups in the South Bend area. And there are a lot of great business owners that I feel that I've grown to know and be able to share with. And I even have been able to share with other companies like me to say, you know, here's my concerns and here's what we've done. But really worked, you know, in year one was just to keep the Burkhart name. I feel bad now because when you look around, Burkhart, you know, which was a name in the area for 55 plus years, there is no more Burkhart, which, you know, you look on the one side, Lamar, it went into a corporation, but Burkhart was always family run. And, you know, my goal is to keep it as a family run business. So as I bought Burkhart Signs, my goal was just to be able to keep something with the name. And even around the name, I think is cool. My wife and I, we met at IUSB, is where we met. And when we were, when she was working in marketing. And when we decided to have kids, she went off and kind of was working at home. And she just created the name Hayes Design. Mm-hmm. And little we know, you know, 20-something years later, 25 years later, that we would use that name to create the name of where we are today with Hayes Design Co. So, you know, back then, not even knowing that someday we'd be able to use that name, but it was pretty cool to be able to do that, to take something from my wife's, you know, background of what she was doing to be able to create what we have today.
Great. So this investment that a business is making in the work that you're doing is perhaps one of their most important, right? They're trying to build their brand. They're trying to make sure they have the visibility that they want, you know, from the public. This is a pretty critical piece. Talk to our business owners who are listening about just why that's so critical for them.
Well, I think it is that it is, and I would put it in the perspective of, think back as you're walking down the street or you're driving down the road, and even as you're looking to go maybe to a restaurant, you know, you look, you don't realize how much a sign, your branding out in front of the building, will draw or attract people. It's the same thing as if you're going online. You know, your website is either going to attract somebody or push them away to go somewhere else, and a sign does that exact same thing for people. And you don't realize it's because a sign is everywhere. Those signs are everywhere. But it will, you go down the road and go, oh, I like the way that sign looks, not realizing, and you'll go into the restaurant to be able to eat. Other places you'll go and go, ooh, that sign doesn't look well. I mean, I recently saw a sign that when it lit up at night, you could see where they had just put their sign over the top. Mm-hmm. You could still see the brand on the back. And the perspective is, do I really want to go in a place that maybe is not taking the attention to the outside of their building and their branding? What's the inside like? You know, is it going to be a quality? Is it going to be a great place to be able to go into and get a great experience? Because you look at the brands that are out there today, whether it's a Nike, whether it's Notre Dame, you know, I have to throw in the University of Texas. You know those places because of their brand. Yeah. And you'll go into that store or you'll go into that place because you know them. Right. And you go, I know that they have quality. I know they're what I like. If you don't have that, people are going to turn away. So, you know, I always say, as even a small business owner, make sure you're investing the right money and making sure you have that storefront, your brick and mortar store, really showing, and not only your brick and mortar, but also your digital, because all that kind of coincides together.
Let's talk for a minute. Jeff and I ask people all the time. We sit here and we think, man, to have the courage to put your name on the sign, to own your own business, to give up every 2-week paycheck, you know, a guaranteed paycheck, but to, in your case, you know, buy a company that, it's not like you were in car sales and you bought a car dealership because you knew, you know, the car business. I mean, you had some similarities, but here you are taking the plunge, buying your own business and buying a business that you really weren't fluent in. What kind of goes into that thinking and the courage that it takes for that?
I woke up one morning and said, what did I just do? that's what I thought is really... You know, and I would say it went through a couple of different phases as we were looking. I mean, I'm going to say, first of all, a lot of prayer went into it. You know, I mean, going, you know, Lord, is this the right way you want me to go? If not, deflect it to a different way, which I thought he did with the other ones. But really, this was kind of led through and just, you know, through the, you know, the prayer, and even to the point of talking to other business owners and just seeing and having them look through. I mean, the great thing is surrounding myself with a lot of those people really helped me to look at the books properly, because, you know, while I've looked at financials with huge corporations and everything as I'm trying to sell, you know, now the balance sheet is mine. You know, now you're looking at, you know, all those numbers and going, oh my goodness, how do I really start making money into this? And it can be daunting and it can be very scary. And I think that's what goes back when I said earlier is, you know, it keeps me up at night. You know, I mean, it can be very stressful and interfere with a lot of life. You know, I will say my wife and I just had to talk. My mind is all over, you know, all over the place, you know, because you get worried, you get concerned, and you kind of go through that whole pattern of, you know, am I doing it right? Am I moving the right levers to grow the revenue? Am I doing the right things for my employees? You know, because you want to make sure they're making a good living to be able to support their families. You know, and it's tough. And even to the marketing, there's a lot of triggers that you have to do. But, you know, you look at it and it's been a road, but it's been an enjoyable road, I would say, for myself.
Great. So, you know, I'll admit it now. So I cut my teeth in working in zoning years ago. I was a zoning administrator over in Mishawaka in my very early days of my professional career. Had some terrific relationships with the sign companies, and only bring up zoning, for example, because it's a little bit different in every community that exists and such. And you have to sort of navigate this vision of a business owner with the parameters that the city or town is put in order. Just talk about how you help companies maybe balance or figure those things out.
Well, and the whole thing is what I try to tell my customers: come to me, let me be the expert for you. I mean, I have a great team that supports me. I thank them every day. I think from, you know, my production manager, my office manager, my operations manager, sales, just everybody that I have are phenomenal. And they're all geared towards number one is how do we serve our customer? How do we make it easy for our customers to be able to just know, just give it to us. You don't have to worry about permitting, zoning, because trust me.
Does that keep you up at night too?
Oh my goodness. No, it is because you look because, yeah. I mean, to give an example, like in the city of South Bend, you know, it depends upon what zone you're in, you know, what kind of sign you can do. And you really need people that understand that. And if you're trying to do it on your own, it can be very daunting to understand that process, how it's done. Yeah. And some people try to do it themselves, but they don't realize what it takes. You know, and even, you know, you put a sign up, there was somebody that called me recently. It said, I put my sign up and I don't have a permit. And the city of South Bend stopped by and said, you need to take it down. Mm-hmm. And we said, well, if you would have talked to us, we would have helped you. So I think the whole thing is that as customers are trying to do it, is you know, talk to the experts. Right. You know, it's just like I try to talk to the experts whenever I can. You know, I mean, we had a roof problem the other day. Could I try to fix it? Probably. Would it be done right? Probably not. You know, but you turn to the expert and say, hey, can you take care of this for me? You know, and I think in this day and age that it gets more complex with, you know, the different zoning and rules and just what you can and can't do can get very difficult.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So let's stay in the space for a second because the city, South Bend in particular, has made a focus on enhancing the exterior appearances of buildings and facilities, knowing that, you know, sometimes it's windows or awnings or planters or signage or whatever. You're helping some businesses navigate that space. Talk to us a little bit about that program and some of what you're doing to sort of help businesses navigate that.
Well, I think when you talk the Vibrant Cities program, this is in place today, which is it's a great thing that the city of South Bend did, and actually I've heard of other cities that have talked about wanting to do the same thing, is to be able to help defer the cost, you know, because redoing the front of your building, which I think improves the overall feeling of your brand, as we talked earlier, but to be able to look at the front and say, how can I make it look better? And that's really what we try to come alongside, because there's a few things that we can do, whether it's signage, whether it's awnings on front, whether it's new lighting, different things to be able to add in front of your building, and knowing that the city's going to pay, you know, 50% of that is a great thing. And again, it's, you know, on our website, we have a portion to be able to talk about it, you know, all about the Vibrant Cities program, to be able to sit down and talk to one of our designers, one of our sales guys, to be able to say, how do I improve this? that's what, you know, we really do to help take the process that it takes to be able to work through and be able to walk through that customer and say, here's how it's done, you know, with the different business owners.
Yeah. So let's talk. You touched briefly on plans to not only serve the local area in the region, but to expand beyond that. Talk to a little bit about how you do something like that. My guess is, I mean, there's a lot of cities that have some great sign companies. Talk about kind of what differentiates you and why you think you'll have some traction in that space.
Well, I think a couple of areas. Number one is in where we are, cost of living is a lot lower than if you're in Chicago, New York, or wherever it is across the United States. And we believe that because of that, that we can offer more competitive. But I would say it's overall is taken from the beginning of a customer's cycle and being able to go through. And when you're looking at maybe doing 500 stores across the United States, you talk about, you know, zoning. Right. You're talking a lot. I mean, I would tell you, we have a couple national accounts that we're doing already today. One we're working in Pittsburgh right now. And I would just tell you the zoning and variance, we've been working to get one location. It's been about 5 months. So it is a process that you don't realize sometimes as you're putting on a historic building or you're doing certain things of what is already put in place in the process that takes. And what we try to do is say, let us take care of it. And we'll get from getting the variance, getting the permits, building the sign, getting the installation, getting everything done. So it's a one-stop shop from beginning to end for you, and you don't have to worry about it. And a lot of our customers really like that because they can call us and, you know, say, hey, I need even a location in, you know, middle of Iowa or Nebraska, and we can take care of it. Not saying that we're going to install them all. We use a network of a lot of those small, you know, owners of business owners in those areas to be able to help support them too by having them to do the installs for us.
Great.
Biggest challenge as you're 2 years into this now, you know, biggest challenge, biggest success, and what you just didn't see coming when you bought your own company?
Well, you ask a lot of questions. I would say the biggest challenge was getting to know the business. You know, I always feel that I would say is that, and number two is changing culture. You know, and I think my employees were here. It's like, as you're trying to change a culture of a company, it's difficult. You know, you had a company that's been in place for 55 years and a lot of processes. I'm the new guy walking in, you know, and literally I walked in one day and said, I'm the new owner. And they all looked at me like, and is this a joke kind of thing? And, you know, to win over your people, but asking the questions that they probably never had asked before. And trust me, I think anybody you talk to knows I ask 1,000 questions, you know, because I always want to get to the root of what are we doing? Why are we doing things a certain way? Is there a better way to be able to improve the process? You know, and then working to change those things has probably been one of my biggest challenges going forward. You know, second thing is that, you know, probably the biggest gotcha was realizing how much that the people that we have. I mean, I had a big portion of my employees leave. You know, my brother, he owns a company in the local area, or did. And, you know, he told me, he goes, expect 50% of your employees to leave. You know, and not preparing for most of them to leave on the same day. Yeah. You know, in the middle of the year, you know, my first year, I mean, it was a struggle. But, you know, my thing is the people that stayed, you know, they all, you know, put their bootstraps up and said, we're in this together. We're going to work. And, you know, again, you can't do it without your employees, right. You know, and you got to rely upon your employees to do what they do and do it well, and help give that direction, which, you know, I try to, I'm not the best at it, but I work on trying to be able to help them to be able to grow themselves.
So as we're wrapping up, I want to dive deeper into this workforce discussion for a second, because you, like all employers, are looking to fill these positions, especially as people leave. So what are some of the maybe the skill sets that sort of a company like yours needs, and what kind of things are you doing to try to make sure you get those top employees?
Well, and it's been tough. I mean, a lot of it has been through word of mouth is what I'm going to say. A lot of people hear about the great things that we're doing. And I will say, literally, I had three people from one company, another competitor, will be able to walk in the door almost simultaneously and say, we heard what you're doing and where you're changing the direction of our business, and we want to be a part of that. It's things like that. And another guy walking in from someplace else and saying, hey, I've heard what you've been doing. I would love to be a part of your company. I think if you're doing things right, you can find, and it's still a struggle. I'm not saying it is a struggle to be able to find skilled people with inside the business. You know, from somebody that can install signage to be able to, you know, look and see how that gets installed on a wall. What does it look like to be able to run the electricity? How are you going to connect it? How are you going to install it on the wall? How are you going to be safe around that? To our manufacturing, you know, how do you build, you know, take a plan and make it come to reality? I mean, there's been a lot of things that we've worked on and, you know, trying to find those right people. You know, I mean, I reached out to South Bend Career Academy. I have somebody that we had as an apprentice last year that, you know, he's in college today, but, you know, when my guys left, he really stepped up with what I would say is and learned our CNC machine, learned our flatbed, learned a lot of things to be able to help fill the gap. And, you know, doing that, I mean, the people are here. It's just being able to find the right ones that will be able to help you.
Great. Well, he's Edward Hayes from the Hayes Design Company. Edward, thank you so much for spending some time with us, letting us get in your brain a little bit and talking about what you're going. You've got a great business going here in the area. We're thrilled to have you here as a business owner, and thanks for sharing some of that story today.
The Behind the Region podcast being powered by Tech Tyler PC. Today, cyber threats are rapidly expanding. Let Tech Tyler PC provide the tools and training your business needs so you can spend more time with your family and friends enjoying life rather than worrying about and struggling with your tech problems. From Office 365 email setup and management to complete IT, including 24/7 monitoring, management, antivirus backups, and encryption, let Tech Tyler PC help. Call them today for a free consultation, 855-213-5016, or send them an email at sales@techtylerpc.com. Tech Tyler PC, managing all of your IT needs. Edward Hayes, Hayes Design Co. Good to see you. Thank you for your support of the chamber and for really, you know, living the motto, trying to make this place that we live and work a better place every day, because I know that you do that. So thank you.
Well, thanks a lot, Mark, and thanks, Jeff, for having me today. I do appreciate both of you guys and just what you guys are doing in the St. Joe area to be able to bring businesses in and help businesses like me to be able to grow and thrive in this great city that we live in.
Thank you for listening to the Behind the Region podcast from the South Bend Regional Chamber, being powered by Tech Tyler PC, offering cost-effective IT solutions to fit any budget. For more information on the South Bend Regional Chamber or to become a chamber member, please visit our website at sbrchamber.com.